What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 130 of Star Wars Between Twin Suns, a Massive Breakdown podcast. We're coming to you today on a fantastic Sunday afternoon, ready to finally get back to talking about Clone Wars and the chronological watch through. We are doing a standalone episode today, Lightsaber Lost, and I don't know. This episode is, in my opinion, like just okay, but it's very funny because when we're researching it and when we're looking at the featurette and stuff like that, it turns out it was a George Lucas special. It's one of the episodes that he pitched early in the Clone Wars, and it actually is another reference to Kurosawa, which we did not know until we were looking up the story behind it. It's pretty funny.
Well, hold up here. I thought we were actually we were taking a break and we were going to talk about Stray Dog, a 1949 Japanese crime drama directed and written by Akira Kurosawa, his second film of 1949. Wait, isn't that the film? I thought that's what today's episode was about.
Apparently so. Apparently season two is just the season of references to various types of movies. Apparently they were just cramming every single reference that they could in there. This one is more obscure, I think, than some of the obvious ones like the Zillaby stuff. But does make you appreciate George's influence and Akira Kurosawa's influence on George nonetheless. Still not one of my favorite episodes out of all of them. Feels like this is definitely one of the ones that you could probably skip over and not lose too much of the overall story. But man, you listen to the featurette and Dave Filoni just absolutely loves this episode, really enjoys it, and is really proud of some of the little details that they put into the background of the episode. So we'll be talking about all of that and more. But I guess first we should go ahead and get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined today by Kit Kutchin. How are you doing today, Kit?
Oh, I am doing pretty darn well. I am officially 4 days post the surgery, and the back treatments have really been paying off. I'm walking again and feeling pretty good overall here. So, all in all, even if this may not be my favorite episode of the Clone Wars to watch or talk about, I have to say that I'm feeling pretty fortunate to be here talking about it right now. And you've had a heck of a week yourself. I went in willingly to let somebody stab me in the knee and run a drill inside my kneecap. You had some unplanned events happen. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough week down here in Florida. Last Saturday, I made the mistake of picking up a can that was in my pool. And I went to throw it over the fence in my backyard. And I guess there was like a piece of metal or something sticking out of the can. And when I threw it, it caught on my finger and it just cut straight from the center of my fingerprint all the way down to the bone and cut the tip of my finger pretty badly and pretty deeply. So late on a Saturday night, I ended up spending a couple hours in the ER getting some nice stitches. And then we immediately turned around from that to preparing for a hurricane, which luckily, although we prepared like we were going to get hit, luckily it did not hit us. Unfortunately, the Gulf Coast was not as lucky as us, and they got hit pretty bad, but ended up just going off out into the Atlantic. And then last night, my phone just died for no reason out of nowhere. So this has been a hectic week for me, and I have not gotten able to spend as much time as I would like just relaxing, and in particular, reading and watching Star Wars stuff. I've been talking about Star Wars a little bit in the Discord. Some people have been catching up on the episodes and poking us with some questions and, really just wondering what we're looking forward to next in Star Wars. And, they've made the decision to start going back to movies. So we had a nice little chat about that. And I highly recommend, if you guys are not in the Discord yet, that you go ahead and join us there. We do have a patrons only channel or patrons exclusive channel available to any of our patron subscribers. And speaking of that, we actually have a new patron we have to thank. We got we'll just say Harmon B. Thank you very much for joining us as a member of the patrons, and we hope to see you in the Discord if you are not already in there. And if you are, then give us a little tag and say hello and ask us any questions you got, and we'll have a little chat about Star Wars, which is something that I'm all too happy to be distracted by, is talking about Star Wars. So, and yeah, it's good. Fortunate for you, see, my finger doesn't affect me from walking. Fortunately for you, you will be able to walk, because later on this month we're actually going to be headed out to a convention and doing some Star Wars themed stuff and hoping to meet some Star Wars Star Wars people, I guess is what we should say.
Yeah, we are. I'm happy to a certain extent that your phone died, because that's three bad things, and that means the curse is broken. And so you should be all set for later this month. But yeah, we're looking forward to attending. I guess I can just say where we're going to be. If anybody's there, they can say hi. We're going to be at SpaceCon San Antonio. And we will not be celebrity guests because, sadly, our reviews aren't quite that good yet. But one day we'll get the hookup. However, we will be walking around hoping to meet some celebrities and, you know, taking photos, attending panels, and collecting autographs. And so that's going to be a good time. Very much looking forward to that. Heck of a lineup here in San Antonio. So many people, Star Wars and Star Trek, going to be there in one building. Kind of wild that they're all going to be there. We've got Hayden, Ewan, Rosario, just like to name like the current kind of big three off the top of my head. But it is a very long list of people who are going to be there. So I'm hoping that we get lots of sort of opportune photos. And I'm very much looking forward to being back to something resembling full strength for that, because that will be an all day affair. We were just talking, one of the last things we want to go to is like at 8 o'clock at night. So it's going to be a day.
Yeah. The detailed schedule came out and we were looking at it and I was like, oh man. So my plan was to get in. I'm only going to be at the convention on Saturday, but I'm getting in earlier on Friday. And my plan is to kind of explore San Antonio a little bit on Friday, get some barbecue, get some beer. And I was actually looking at it, I was like, man, I wonder if I need to go Friday and Sunday too, because the schedule that they've got set up, like I'm actually thinking about changing my flight back on Sunday. I just don't want to get back in too late at night, because obviously we got work again on Monday. But man, the stuff that they've got, it almost reads as too good to be true to me. I'm halfway expecting like a fire festival type thing where we show up and it's just an empty warehouse with a ball pit or something like that. Because like, I cannot believe they got as many people as they did and they got all these people on the schedule. And it's like, you know, I guess San Antonio is a much bigger town than I gave it credit for, but this really reads like equivalent or better than the lineup that you would see at like, you know, Comic-Con, like the real Comic-Con. So it's pretty impressive. And it's got me seriously considering getting an additional ticket and maybe showing up for a couple more of these panels, because it's not just Star Wars stuff. Like, this is a Star Wars podcast, as you guys know. But man, do I love me some Star Trek as well. And they've got a TNG reunion panel. They've got a Strange New Worlds panel. And I mean, those are two of my favorite Star Trek, you know, Star Trek shows ever, up there with Lower Decks. And so it's like, man, I'm going to be hard pressed not to want to show up on Friday as well and listen to at least a couple of those.
Yeah. There's so many great options. We have the opportunity, you know, we could go and heckle Star Wars Theory. Can't rule that out as an option for Saturday morning. They've got live lightsaber practice. Obviously, I'm going all 3 days because it's here. I live 30 minutes from where it's located. And give or take, we'll see. Maybe there'll be an accident. It'll be an hour and a half. I don't know. But, you know, so I'm going to be taking my daughter Friday night and Sunday as well to go and get autographs. And I realized, you know, as I was looking at the schedule with you, I was like, my autographs sessions for Sunday are in the afternoon. But I was like, I think I got to go first thing in the morning, because there's just Star Wars thing after Star Wars thing all day on Sunday. So it's going to be quite the event. And, you know, in favor of it not being, you know, an absolute scam, it does appear that they're sponsored by one of the largest law firms in Central Texas. So, you know, that seems to be a good sign. I know these people will be going after them if it's a scam.
Good. I mean, I don't want it to be a scam. I want to meet all these people.
I know.
And say hello. And we'll, of course, be there in our Beneath Twin Suns branded gear, right? So, you know, we'll be walking around. You know, maybe if there are any fans out in San Antonio, Texas, who are also going to be in the area, don't hesitate to hit us up, especially if you're a patron and you're in Discord, because then you can just message us directly. Exactly. And say, hey, let's grab a beer. Let's grab some barbecue. Like I said, I'm going to be I'm going to be making my way around the area. But if you see us at all in Beneath Twin Suns garb and you want to just say hello, we'd be more than happy to stop and chat with you and take a picture or do whatever it is. And I promise you, we won't charge for pictures, for our photo ops.
Yeah.
We're just happy to do it.
Unlike Hayden, who is making bank.
Those things are not cheap. Woo! Yeah. I'm more impressed now. People post photos of themselves with like the stars, you know, on Star Wars Reddit and stuff like that. They're like, oh, I met, you know, so and so today. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I see how much meeting so and so today costs. And I'm like, man, you are a dedicated fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm that dedicated fan coming up here. So we'll see how much that hurts. I think it's worth it. But, well, I guess, have we done our housekeeping now? I think we've sort of incidentally done it. Big thank you, actually. I gotta say thank you to Harmon for the pledge and the support. Really appreciate that. You know, obviously it does help us do things like go to this convention, which we'll obviously be talking about, I guess probably in November. Mm-hmm. It says it's at the end of the month here. So it does give us some great opportunities. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to all of the patrons and all of the listeners who make this fun thing to do.
Yeah. And remember, if you like listening to us talk about Star Wars and you appreciate the fact that we try not to delve too deep into the culture war type stuff that that other Star Wars content creators do, and we try to keep it mostly focused around Star Wars, then the best things you can do for us besides just listen to the show or leave us a 5-star review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, those help the show a lot, or join the patron or the Patreon. Even at a very, very low tier pledge, you at least get access to the Discord, and we're always happy to talk with more people about Star Wars because that's what we love doing. We just love talking about Star Wars with other people who love Star Wars. Even if you don't like everything about Star Wars, mm-hmm. We're still happy to talk about it. So all that being said, yes, we are talking today about Lightsaber Lost. Lightsaber Lost is entirely a standalone episode. I mentioned in our last episode that I thought maybe it was linked to the preceding episodes because we actually see Tara Sanube in the background. But no, it turns out that Tara Sanube his model was made for this episode, but the production schedule was such that they were able to use it for the Grievous Intrigue thing, just as like a background character kind of. So this episode basically revolves around Ahsoka Tano losing her lightsaber while on an operation with Anakin, on a mission with Anakin in the slums of Coruscant. It gets stolen from her. And yeah, like we mentioned earlier, it is pretty much I wouldn't say a ripoff, because it does diverge pretty hard, like towards the tail end. But it's based around Akira Kurosawa's 1949 movie Stray Dog, where a rookie cop gets his gun stolen while on public transport and enlist the help of a veteran grizzled ancient detective to kind of help him track his gun down and get it back. And the theme of this is that, like, if you have a weapon and you are careless with that weapon and that weapon falls into the wrong hands, then you are responsible for anything that happens because of that weapon. And obviously in Lightsaber Lost, it doesn't end up devolving into, you know, someone going on a murder spree with the lightsaber, because the person who bought it for those purposes ends up themselves being murdered. But in Stray Dogs, that is what happens. There's like a crime spree that happens where the officer's revolver is linked to it. And so that's kind of the exploration of that. But I was very surprised to learn during the featurette that this was a George Lucas pitch, and that he, you know, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised because it's a Kurosawa thing. So it seems like it'd be right up George's alley. But Dave Filoni talks about this. This is now twice in a row Dave Filoni has talked about loving an episode. Yeah. But I was like, really? This is one of your favorite episodes? This one? But I think he likes the like lighthearted kind of sillier, you know, one-off Star Wars things almost more than maybe he likes the, you know, Saving Private Ryan style Star Wars or any of the other darker, maybe more serious Star Wars that I feel like we've, you know, later on in Clone Wars, the series came to be known for.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And as you know, As a content creator, I can sympathize with his viewpoint, right? There is something that feels good about telling a story that ends happily and has a positive message. And that can often, I think, feel rewarding, feel good, especially when you're making a kid's show. You know, and this is, you know, predominantly a kid's show, even if it's maybe not aimed at little kids. So I think there is something emotionally fulfilling about doing that kind of work, even if it's not always given the same sort of artistic recognition, especially in today's media, which tends to favor grittier, darker presentations. And even at the time, that was the case, right? That's very much kind of been a hallmark, I think, of much of the 2000s is, you know, a continued transition from some of the more optimistic media of prior generations to grittier, quote unquote, more realistic, but certainly darker portrayals of the world and of stories. You know, so I could certainly understand, especially if he's maybe made some of those darker stories, as you know, we know that they have. You might take joy in something like this. It's a nice, it's neat, it's a closed tale. There's no sort of strings left to follow. Though I am left with a number of questions. I feel like there are a bunch of plot holes around motive and like why any of this happened that the episode absolutely never addresses and makes no effort to address. And because it's a standalone, you know, it's just sort of like they did crime, you know, more or less for crime's sake. Which is actually too bad because they had, you know, if they're referencing Stray Dog, like there is actually some delving into the mindset of the criminal. And like, that's part of the plot of that film is that this is someone who's a disaffected war veteran, who's, you know, disillusioned with society, doesn't have any, you know, useful skills aside from violence and takes up with the, you know, the crime syndicates, the Yakuza in this case, in order to basically earn a paycheck. And so it's a very sad story, and they utterly sidestep the motivations of the people behind the crime spree in this case. Which is too bad, because I think it would have been a much more engaging episode if they had motivation, and it would have maybe added something to Ahsoka's character growth for her to confront the effects of the war on the people on Coruscant, which is a topic that they delve into in later seasons. But I guess season two, we're still tiptoeing around that to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this episode is not my favorite for a number of reasons. It's not that I think it's necessarily a bad episode, but a lot of stuff in the episode just happens because it has to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And the episode itself is not deep enough to even be like worth nitpicking the story. It's right. True. Like you kind of are just like, oh, whatever. I know what they're going for. I understand what they're trying to do. How much of it really makes sense? Not really a ton. How serendipitous is pretty much every single thing that happens in the entire way. Like, you know, I was thinking about that where she's like, oh, you know, Coruscant has billions and billions of people in it, right? It has thousands of stories, and they're in one specific slum, and they just happen to have like a register of all these known criminals. And after like 25 seconds of searching, she finds the criminal,
right,
that it is. And it was just like, you know, I get it. They can't waste time. They only had the one episode. It wasn't like a multi-part episode. They can't waste time trying to, you know, explain away all this stuff or really go through the process that it would take to find one random criminal that you had seen just briefly, even in the Jedi databanks. So, you know, I watched the episode. I thought to myself, well, that was certainly an episode. And I look forward to like getting on with the rest of season two. Yeah. But I, you know, I guess for the summary, we can start at the beginning. So the whole reason they're down there in the slums is to search for Kar Afa, who is a Weequay arms dealer that is selling Republic weapons to the Separatists, basically. And also this episode introduces a ton of new characters, only, I believe, one of whom is ever seen again. So Tara Sanube is actually seen quite a bit throughout Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. He's very rarely a speaking character, but he is in you know, a bunch of different scenes just kind of hanging around. But we get introduced to Kar Afa, Banamu, Knack Movers, you know, Cassie, like all these people, none of whom ever seen again.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, is in my opinion kind of a waste. And apparently the reason why they did this is because Cassie was like one of the bounty hunters, and this was the rise of the bounty hunter season, and they were trying to introduce her, but then they just ended up not using her again for one reason or another. But Anakin tells Ahsoka to wait outside the bar and basically keep watch, act as backup. He's going to go inside and get Kar Afa. He goes inside, something happens, you know, there's some gunfire, whatever, there's a lightsaber that gets ignited, and everybody runs out of the bar and kind of just like runs through Ahsoka and knocks her down. And, you know, as she's knocked down, she realizes that someone has nabbed her lightsaber from her, and she turns around just long enough to see who it is. It is the name of the species, they are called Petrolians, and they are like these bipedal, like fish-faced creatures. And she sees him, but she cannot catch up to him in the crowd, and he ends up vanishing and disappearing. And she hilariously is scared to tell Anakin that she lost her lightsaber. And when she's talking to Jocasta Nu about it, Jocasta Nu is like, well, why don't you just tell Anakin the truth? And she's like, no, I can't do that. He's always saying to me, Ahsoka, your lightsaber is your life. Do not lose this, which is hilarious because that's exactly what Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Anakin when Anakin loses his lightsaber in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Anakin did learn a lesson from Obi-Wan.
It is great to see the symmetry there, right? Like, that's one of the things that makes Star Wars work, is when we get those echoes of symmetry throughout the storylines as events repeat themselves. It is kind of funny. So, yeah, so she talks to Jocasta Nu. Jocasta turns out not to be a whole lot of help. She's like, I actually don't really know that much about crime on Coruscant.
Which is surprising, because I figured if anyone knew about the slums of Coruscant, it was going to be Jocasta Nu, the little old lady, the little old grandma Jedi.
Well, they play on that stereotype, right? Because the one who does know is, in fact, an even older Jedi named Tara Sanub, a Jedi Master who apparently has been studying Coruscant's criminal underworld for, just about as long as Jocasta Nu's been alive by the look of him. And he is napping or resting his eyes, as he asserts, while sitting at a computer terminal in the library, which is actually a pretty brilliant place to take a nap, I would imagine, if you're an older Jedi Master and you want to avoid being pestered by the younger Jedi. Who's going to bother you in the archives? Mm-hmm. As it turns out, only Ahsoka. However, he is happy to assist her, and in fact, the only price that he asks in exchange for his assistance is that he gets to come along. And, you know, we do see that it's very heavy-handed, that this is intended to be an episode in which Ahsoka learns a lesson about patience. There's no sugarcoating that one. You know, it's like, he's like, yes, I'm very slow. You can probably learn from being a little bit slower yourself, right from the get-go. As you said, you know, yeah, they spend about 5 seconds scrolling through photos before he's able to show her photos identifying. And we can assume maybe he had already filtered the database down to the correct area of town. And, you know, then he's asking her about the species. And, you know, so... Is Tara Snoob racial profiling? I don't think so. Given that there are, in fact, like 150 species in Star Wars, you have to ask what somebody looks like to figure out what species they are. This is not an episode that asks the hard questions about any moral stance, though.
No, she does say, look, she got a look at him. He is a fish guy from an aquatic planet. Right. Well, that kind of does narrow it down, because it means it's not a squid guy. So he knows that.
Yeah.
Right. It's not probably a Mon Calamari, who are the octopus guys. It's not Jar Jar Binks's species, the name of which, the Gungans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that does kind of narrow it down. It's not a shark guy. Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of does narrow it down. You know, there's like one species per species, I guess, per type of animal. So it probably narrows it down. So I guess he just needs to look at the list of, and this is us justifying this, even though we said we didn't need to justify it, but now we're going to. This. So he probably narrows it down by species and then by the location, because he knows the location that she was in, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to think that most of these criminal types probably don't stray too far from home. You know, they're local petty thieves. They probably hang out in the same area. So he probably narrows it down by, you know, people with an arrest record in this area, you know, that are still alive that are this species. And that narrows it down to what, like eight suspects, like six or eight suspects. And fortunately for her, they're all different colors. So it's very easy to pick out the green one, yeah. Which she does.
Yeah. Color-coded criminals. Well, anyways, it works. And we just aren't going to think too hard about it here, because this just is not an episode worth thinking too hard about.
I do appreciate how fast the Quarren that she goes to talk to gives up on Banamu, on how quickly the Quarren just like turns and is like, well, hold on now. Like, so she... They, in the least subtle of all the ways, show up at a random restaurant where, I guess, Banamu hangs out.
Spider Arms Hostel. Oh, no, sorry, that's the headout. That's the hideout, yeah.
Yes, so they don't know where his hideout is. They don't know where he currently is, but they know that there's, like, a restaurant or something that he frequents. So they go there. They ask, trying to buy a lightsaber, which you would think, as a Quarren, the first thing you would think is, I'm very suspicious of this person who's just showing up asking to buy a lightsaber. Probably most people don't want to buy lightsabers, yeah. Or don't go around asking to buy lightsabers, but the Quarren is apparently not the brightest bulb on the tree. And so he takes him out back where there's a Twi'lek waiting and is like, you know, I want 20,000 credits for the lightsaber. And she's like, 20,000? Wow. If you actually have it, you'll just give it to me. And he's like, well, it's a Jedi weapon. You know, they're very rare. They're very expensive. And she's like, yeah, it's my Jedi weapon.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hold on. I don't want to get mixed up in any Jedi business. You know, what do you guys want from me? Like, I want to. But the Twi'lek, to his credit, is like, I hope you'll remember this and that you owe me a favor. And I thought maybe that was going to be, you know, that was going to be something that they were going to reference later on in Clone Wars. But to my knowledge, the Twi'lek both does not get a name and also never gets referenced ever again.
Yeah.
So sadly, just a dead end.
That would have been a great favor to maybe call in the final season or something. Mm-hmm. You know, only like Ahsoka would have asked him for another favor instead of paying him back.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing happens. Nothing comes of that. She finds Banamu, and despite Cara Sanu cautioning her to calm down, she aggressively interrogates him. Does the Jedi reputation no favors. She throws him against a wall and threatens him if he doesn't reveal who he sold it to. I can only imagine that Tara Sanub is horrified by her behavior. But the old Jedi remains calm, and Banamu quickly directs them to an assassin named Knack Movers. So they hurry off to find him. And Sanu again kind of reminds Ahsoka, like, you need to be more patient. You need to calm down. But Ahsoka is concerned because anything that happens with that lightsaber is her responsibility. Right. That's the way that she views it. And he sort of challenges her on that a little bit. He's like, well, to a certain extent, you're correct. You know, but also, like, you're not in control of what other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But that sort of middle path isn't really what she wants to hear right now. They get to Mover's apartment or rather his girlfriend's apartment. And they find the lock cut open and Mover's dead on the floor.
Which is somewhat interesting because according to the canon explanation, he was poisoned.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why the lock was cut open. And also secondarily, Cassie Cryers was like his friend. So there's a whole love triangle thing going on. So we've got Ione Marcy is Knack Mover's girlfriend. And then Cassie Cryer was like, Knack's bodyguard type thing, like hired gun. And Ione Marcy and Cassie Cryer end up falling in love and becoming a couple. And Knack does something gross. This is all coming from, there's like a book on, called like Scum and Villainy or something. And it's by Pablo Hidalgo. It was released in 2018. It is officially canon. And it like details like every bounty hunter and criminal and everything that's been featured in Star Wars and gives like background information and fills in their stories and stuff. So that, a lot of that comes from this, including a very silly picture that I sent. That's like an oil painting of Knack Movers, Ione and Cassie. Yeah.
I was just like, is this real? Like, this does not seem real.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is from, it's from that book. So that's pretty funny, but yeah. So he does something gross to Cassie and, you know, propositions her or something. And so Cassie and Ione decide that they're going to murder Knack, which they do. They poison him. He dies. Cassie steals the lightsaber. And also, this was something I mentioned last episode. I was like, why does Cassie's face look that way? And it is confirmed actually in the trivia for this episode that that is just a mask that she is wearing. So there is concept art of her and what she looks like underneath the mask. And she does look like a normal Jango jumper. She does not look, she doesn't have that like pale, you know, white face. That is just a mask that she has on for some reason that they did for her design. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but that is the explanation for it. So that bothered me like the first two times I saw this episode. I did not understand why her face looked that way. And it took me until doing a deeper dive to catch that that is not the way her face looks.
Yeah. Essentially, none of this plot makes it into the episode.
Yes.
And none. We're left with no clear indication as to, like, it sort of is, all the pieces are there and you can sort of put together that maybe they had feelings for each other and that's why Knack Movers gets killed, but it's never explicitly stated. You know, there's just sort of no indication what the motive is for this murder. The lightsaber is just sort of incidental to everything.
And yeah, it's also just like you kind of just left to assume like, well, it was a bad guy. These are bad people. Like they just kill each other sometimes. The story, it's not really that important, the reason why. And again, this is the risk you run when you try to do a standalone 20-minute episode, is there's just no time for exposition.
Yeah.
Or there's very limited time for exposition. So yeah, it's a whole thing. They try to, you know, question Ione about what's happening. She's super nervous. She stumbles through an explanation about, oh, actually, I now realize why the lock was cut, is because this is her alibi, mm-hmm. is that Min broke into the apartment and killed Knack Movers.
Yeah.
So that is why they cut the lock, so that it would look like people broke into the apartment. See, now look at us. We're just solving every single plot hole ourselves. We don't even need Pablo Hidalgo's 2008 novel about the villains. So she tells him these men broke into the apartment. She's been hiding. She's been scared. You know, I think they hear some noise and Ahsoka goes to search the bedroom, where she obviously gets attacked very quickly by Cassie, and Cassie's got the lightsaber, but she doesn't really know how to use it. And she realizes that Ahsoka is a Jedi, decides, ooh, I actually don't want to do this. I'm just going to run away, which is what, you know, Torellian Jango jumpers are famous for, being exceptionally athletic, very fast, able to jump very, very high. So, you know, and as far as other Jango jumpers that we know, the Eighth Brother, who you may know from Star Wars Rebels fame, as I think one of the first people to use the helicopter dual lightsaber spinning thing. you know, to force levitate and stuff like that. But they're also in, you know, Padawan Lost and Wookiee Hunt. You know, they show up a couple of times. They're not super, super popular. I believe, is Aura Singh a Torellian Jango jumper as well?
I not know the answer to that question.
She is not. She is a Paladuvan. And apparently she's force sensitive, according to the Wikipedia that I just looked up. She was half human. She is a Paladuvan who is half human and she is force sensitive. I wonder where that came from. I wonder if that also came from the Hive and was it Scum and Villainy book that Pablo Hidalgo wrote.
Yeah, would not be surprised if that's where it came out of. There's kind of a lot of little bits of lore about some of these characters hidden in there.
Oh, apparently, Aura Singh was first conceived in a sketch that was called Babe Fett. So there you go. Back for episode one.
All right. Well, where are we here? So anyways, the plot comes unraveled such as it is. Ahsoka is in pursuit of Cassie, and Hera Syneeb is actually bothering to look at the crime scene and interrogate the witness a little further, commenting that, you know, Nak is very large, much larger than the average person. It would have been very difficult to, you know, for somebody to kill him in an attack. And, you know, sort of kind of taking note that, like, the apartment's really not messed up and there's not actually any signs of violence. Which is a little harder for us as audience members of an animated show to pick up on. We don't have some of the same clues that we might get in a live action show. So I do appreciate that they actually bother to sort of call that out. And he quickly deduces that Nak was poisoned and that she must have been the one who poisoned him. As it would be very unlikely. I think he actually explicitly says it. It seems strange that a bunch of men would have come in here and poisoned him.
Yep.
Which is, I think, a strong candidate for maybe one of the best lines of the episode. I actually laughed at that because, to be honest, I wasn't super engaged in a lot of this episode, but he said that and I was just like, oh, that's funny. So anyway, it sort of comes to pieces, you know, her whole story. He's planted a tracker on her, meanwhile, while pretending to be a kindly old man. And when she realizes that he has figured out her plan and summoned the police droids, she takes off and runs out the window, escaping in an air speeder. Meanwhile, Ahsoka and Cassie have an extensive chase through Coruscant. This is an area where I felt like they could have maybe cut a little bit to give some more exposition. Because this chase, mm-hmm. like, it's fun to watch at first. Then it just goes on and on and on. This was a rough scene for me to get through. I don't know if I'm exaggerating it, but like I had a really hard time with this scene. I was definitely looking at my phone part of it.
Yeah, I mean, because not much happens, right? It's just one character running after another character, and there's, you know, a little bit of minor action, but
yeah
it's I don't know if you've seen the new Indiana Jones movie, Dial of Destiny. It's actually a very good movie. It's definitely better than Crystal Skull, but there is a chase scene in it that is probably the longest chase scene I've ever seen in a movie. And it is like exhausting to watch. And that's kind of how I felt about this, where it's just like, okay, like we do get it. They're running after each other. Like they're going to catch up to each other at some point in time. Thankfully, you know, Tara Sinub was smart enough to put a tracker on Ione, knowing that Ione and Cassie are probably going to try to meet up again. So he, you know, this entire episode is an allegory for like slow and steady win the race. Right.
Yeah.
Which in itself is an allegory, or the tortoise and the hare is in itself an allegory. But basically, he's just saying, like, look, you're running, jumping off of windows, like jumping across these billboards. And all he does is simply just like take a taxi to the train station.
Yeah.
And nothing else. And still ends up getting to the same place at the same time as her, but with significantly less effort and less danger. So I appreciate the moral that they're trying to push. I don't know that we necessarily needed the entire thing. The one thing that I did like about this is during, and apparently this is the thing that Filoni liked about it the most too. So they have a bunch of, there's like Orbesh stuff hidden all over the place, right? There's, you know, Star Tours posters, which Star Tours is the ride at Disneyland and at Disney World, which is like, it takes you to a bunch of different planets. Like you're on a tour group in the Star Wars universe. It's quite fun. It's very old, but it is quite neat. Then there's, you know, stuff for like punk rock bands. There's all kinds of things. And then they have this like floating billboard with Palpatine giving a speech in it, mm-hmm. right? And in his speech, he is like, I'm sure you've all heard the rumors that the Jedi started this war to get, you know, to gain power, right? which, of course, nobody had heard those rumors prior to him saying that.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm sure you've all heard the rumor that here's the rumor that I'm telling you exactly. I'm sure you've all heard this now that you've heard it from me. You all heard it. And then he's like, I don't believe in these rumors at all. I won't stand for this slander of my Jedi friends. Like, the Jedi's are great people and we should respect them and love them.
Yeah.
And I thought that actually caught my ear when I was watching it, because it's just something in the background. You're not really paying attention to it. But that caught my ear. And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny, because I'm sure at this point in time, nobody had heard that rumor. And he's like throwing it out there so that people will start talking about it. Right. Like, the best way to draw attention to something is to acknowledge it and then say it's not true.
Yeah.
Like, that is the best way to draw attention to something. So good politicking for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very classic, politicking from Palpatine there. And a delightful little background detail that does, you know, as Dave Filoni calls out in the featurette, it does add to and feed into what happens in live action when, you know, Palpatine and Anakin are at the opera and Palpatine turns to Anakin and says, the Jedi are behind this all. They want control of the Republic and they're planning to betray me. Like, just says it outright. And it's just like, yeah, no, like it does actually, it lands even harder if you spend years building that story up and setting up that story and setting up Palpatine as the one who was like, he was always defending the Jedi. Even when they didn't need to be defended, he was out there defending them.
Mm-hmm.
He started defending them before anyone even realized that they needed defense. So, like, how could you possibly mistrust him? He's extra loyal to the Jedi. And then when they betray him, of course he has to have them eradicated. He was their greatest defender and they betrayed even him. They must be evil. Like, the sheer, like, bigness of the lies, really, that, like, that's real political philosophy right there. Is like, you'll get caught in a small lie, right? But you tell a big enough lie and you stick to it, and like, nobody can really prove that you're lying at a certain point. And that's kind of Palpatine's whole strategy, is that it's his lies are so vast that it's incomprehensible to anybody that he could be lying. And it's really a beautiful sort of political story happening in the background, and one piece of it happening in this otherwise forgettable episode.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I'm excited about that little bit as well, and I love that Filoni was so consciously doing this.
Oh, and that's honestly probably the high point of the episode.
It is
the like little Palpatine speech in the background.
Pretty much.
You know, Ahsoka continues this chase, which has been going on for 7 hours at this point, and they enter a train. Cassie takes a Twi'lek mother and child as hostage, still with Ahsoka's lightsaber in hand, and, you know, waits until they get to the next train station, kind of in a stalemate, and then attempts to run away. But, you know, Tara Sanoob is already there, and, you know, he intercepts her and disarms her, and they get arrested. Cassie and Ione get arrested, and, you know, Tara Sanoob is like, oh, so have you learned a lesson today, you know, Ahsoka? Like, maybe that's a lesson you should share with the other younglings at the Jedi Temple. And that, sure enough, that's what she does. Master Yoda greets them when they return. And, you know, he's like, oh, I invite you to share with these younglings the lesson, the value of patience, and also the responsibility of never losing your lightsaber, right? And that's the end of the episode. And it's like, you know, it is an episode. It's not a bad episode. Like, I don't actively dislike it. There are some episodes I like actively dislike. I don't know if it's like the most childlike of these season two episodes that we've seen, or the most like clearly kind of directed at kids. Like, it literally feels like it is to like teach kids the value of patience. Like, that's what this episode feels like it's doing. It's like teaching little kids the value of patience. And the episode feels more like it was written for little kids, where there's like these huge leaps in logic and like everything just happens. Like, I'm not saying that every Clone Wars episode is like super detailed, but they do generally try to, you know, fill in the gaps where they can. And this episode just like barely even tries to fill in the gaps and this stuff.
We talk about lampshading all the time, right? And it's like a lot of the time, they at the very least sort of acknowledge that they're making the leap. And here it's like, no, we're just going to have Cassie jump from one part of the plot to the next. Literally. Like, that's the acknowledgement that we get.
It is what it is. Like, this episode feels like a younger, more childish style of episode. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if the part that I like the most about an episode is seeing the Corellian slums, which I think is cool, seeing a bunch of new characters, which I was disappointed to find out would never be featured again, and then a speech from Emperor Palpatine that shows up for like less than 15 seconds of the entire episode, those are some pretty low high points. And fortunately for them, there's not really any like super, super low points, right? It's just like, the episode never really elevates much above the baseline to me. So I think, you know, as far as rating it goes, I maybe give it like a 7. A 6.5 seems disingenuous because I feel like a 6.5 is like, you know, low for us. Like we have a pretty high baseline for Star Wars content, I think. And I think that a 7 is probably the highest I could give it. I will say that.
You know, I'm actually going to give it a 6.5. I feel like it is not helped by coming on the back of a bunch of really fun, enjoyable episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those comparisons are not good. And then, you know, looking forward to future seasons, to the episodes that we get, comparisons for it are just not good. Like, it just doesn't stack up.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the staying power that a lot of the Clone Wars does. And, you know, it's fine. Like you said, it's fine. I feel like a 6.5 is still a positive rating. I would still rather watch Lightsaber Lost than any number of other TV shows. That said, there is a lot that I would rather watch than Lightsaber Lost as well.
Yeah.
And that's why it ends up pretty close to the middle.
Yep. All right. Well, that's fair enough. That's pretty much it. This is a short episode this week. Next week, we will be back with... Oh, geez. What will we be back with next week?
I believe we are diving into the Mandalore plot.
Oh, that's a good one.
A little backstory on Obi-Wan Kenobi and his youthful misadventures and a connection that remains.
Yes.
I am definitely looking forward to seeing that. Seeing Obi-Wan Kenobi humanized a little bit. And... getting our first really good look at Mandalore, which plays such a big part in the Clone Wars story.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I love everything Mandalore related in Clone Wars. And in particular, I love this.
Yeah.
Like, I really do love this trio of episodes. Satine is a fantastic character. Super excited to see her. I love hearing about Obi-Wan's sordid past, we'll say. So I'm very excited about that. That's a huge step up from Lightsaber Lost. Really, really looking forward to that. As far as trivia goes, don't have a ton. One of the things I did think is funny is when they were, you know, anytime they're like showing characters' pictures on screens, I'm always curious if those characters are a reference to something. And one of them is Bria Tanaka or Tanaka, I don't know, but it's one of the sisters seen in the cantina in episode 4. Must have been significantly younger here in this episode, but she is seen in the cantina in A New Hope, so I thought that was pretty funny. Not really too much trivia other than that. A lot of it is just about like the, you know, the models that they were using, a lot of the Orabesh text all around there, and yeah.
In addition to Tara Sanu being reused, or rather being used early in the Grievous episode, the younglings also were used early. And so the younglings we see at the end, I believe, are the identical younglings that we see here at the end of this episode. Or I guess, sorry, not at the end of Grievous. At the end of this episode, at the beginning of the Grievous episode.
Yeah, and Knack Movers is actually a repainted Ga-Nacht, if you remember him from Downfall of a Droid.
Yeah.
Which was probably one of my least favorite of all the episodes ever. That's an actual episode that I do not enjoy watching. So that is the lower line we've established so far for Clone Wars. But that Downfall of a Droid episode had Ga-Nacht, which was a Trandoshan scrapper who stole R2-D2. And Ga-Nacht got a repaint and became Knack Movers and then just died. And that was it.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't think we have any other really insightful trivia for this. There's, we already mentioned the Ouroboros. There's a whole bunch of signs. Would certainly, you know, if you're curious what different signs said, I would, you know, encourage you to hit up Wikipedia, because it's a great site to explore and dive into Star Wars lore. We do see, I guess, with Brea, I'm going to say Tanika.
Mm-hmm.
The Ouroboros next to her picture says, last seen on Coruscant, wanted for murder.
Oh. So it really is a hive of scum and villainy.
Indeed.
Over on over there.
Indeed. And I guess when Ahsoka is looking for a lightsaber to buy near the noodle bar, there is also a massage parlor nearby. Mm. And that is the full quality of trivia that we have. It's not a lot necessarily.
No. Well, you win some, you lose some, you know.
Yeah.
Some episodes are great, some episodes just kind of pass into the ether of our memories. or they don't pass into the ether of our memories.
Actually, there is one bit I forgot about this. I had read it earlier. So when they're at the hover train station, there are a list of destinations, and one of the destinations is Burbank.
Oh yeah, the California city. And mm-hmm. that's a recurring thing too. They tend to do that a lot. I don't know why they keep referencing Burbank, but I think they do it in The Wrong Jedi as well.
It's,
up at the train station. So
To Catch a Jedi, it is one of the destinations there as well.
That's very funny. Good for Burbank. Also existing in a galaxy far, far away.
It is, you know. Burbank endures, apparently. All right, well, that's all we've got. So unless you have anything else to close us out.
Nope.
Well, until next time. May the Force be with you.
And also with you.